Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. On the program today for the whole show, Guy Rocha, the Nevada historian, on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you by the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, the world's largest industrial park, the Retail Association of Nevada, strengthening the business environment for Nevada retailers, Pro Group Management, Workers' Comp that works for you, and the Las Vegas Review-Journal and ReviewJournal.com.
As a Nevada business owner, you know how important your workers' comp, accidents, and premiums are to your bottom line. Pro Group provides the leading workers' comp programs in the state. So when we're on your team, your hard-earned dollars stay right here in Nevada. With us, your premiums are an investment in your business. We provide long-term security and stability for your company. Pro Group prides itself on being a Nevada business that does business in Nevada. Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
Press on, Southern Nevada. It's a new beginning. Information the way you need it. We are fighting for you every day to make your life better. The facts. So you can succeed. So you can plan. So you can dream. And always remember, press on.
To state-of-the-art energy, Nevada is the right state to be in. A reliable, efficient network. Cleaner energy resources like solar, wind, and geothermal. And technology that will help you save energy and money at home. Learn more at nvenergy.com.
Nearly 200,000 Nevadans work in retail businesses, supporting families and the community. Nevada's retail businesses generated over $2 billion in sales tax revenue in 1 year, including nearly $700 million to help our schools. Shop around and see all that Nevada's retailers offer our state.
We're the Retail Association of Nevada, representing thousands of Nevada businesses.
Businesses that work for Nevada.
Nevada Newsmakers 10th Annual Teen Edition is brought to you by the Nevada Trucking Association, Pro Group Management, the Retail Association of Nevada, Valley Electric Association, the Nevada State Education Association, and the El Dorado Hotel Casino in Reno. This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shad on No Holds Barred Political Forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we're going to spend some time with historian Guy Rocha. Pleasure to have you back on the program, sir.
Thank you, Sam.
Okay, bye-bye filibuster.
Yeah, okay. Well, it's a big deal.
It's a huge deal.
Yeah, it's a big deal. There's no doubt. And obviously, it's created a firestorm. There are people who have been saying Harry Reid should have done this some time ago. He had the opportunity to do it. Could do it, didn't do it, but apparently, from his point of view, in terms of those nominations and the things that need to move through it, you know, for the Obama administration, he finally decided, I'm going to take it on, and he did the hardball thing. Down the road, if the Republicans get a majority and he's no longer the majority leader, the game is going to change. But
he could also reverse himself.
Yes.
At some point and say, you know, it's back in.
Absolutely.
But the backstory here is that when you have the majority and the ability to bypass filibusters, either by doing the nuclear option or by having that 60 votes, that you get to stack the branches of the judiciary with people who lean more towards your favor. Now, I'm not doing it with the Supreme Court, but there's lots of other very important courts that are going to be affected.
Sure. I don't think going back with Senate Majority Leaders Mike Mansfield, LBJ, and on the Republican side, you know, their examples. I'm sure that in the day before, you know, this was adopted, that they were stacking too. I mean, that is kind of the prerogatives. What struck me in this, my point of view, is you have a minority dictating to the majority and hanging up a whole process at that rate. I have trouble with that. I mean, I think a simple majority should make the decision. That's a democracy.
Oh, okay, but, well, all right, so how long has the filibuster been around? I'm sorry, I'm stumping you on that one. But...
Well, no, you're not stumping me altogether. My understanding is, you know, that particular filibuster dates back perhaps 100 years. But that ratio, okay, I believe that has changed, you know, back and forth. I mean, Harry Reid agreed to that, as I understand it, and Harry Reid doesn't support it anymore. So, obviously, the minority sees it as a power play, which it is, and they'll get their turn. I mean, it's a rule. It's not a law. It's a rule. And so rules can be changed by those in power, and the majority leader is the one who changes the rules.
So it'll be interesting to see, does it get used or does it get abused?
Anything that can be used can be abused. I mean, you know, inherently, it's in the nature, you know, someone would, and the perception of what is abuse, and, you know, et cetera, will play. I mean, there'll be obviously people on the other side of the aisle who will look at that and say, well, I feel that's abuse. And the other will say, well, no, that's critical for things to happen. You know, that the administration has its administrative leadership or the judges are in place or whatever. So that'll be in the eye of the beholder, in my opinion.
Now, looking down the road, do you think that Harry Reid and his staff look at this and say, we feel comfortable that we are going to retain the majority leadership in the Senate, at least, for 2014-2016 to make such a move?
That's a chess game, and I know Senator Harry Reid, and you do too. He plays the chess game way out, many plays out. I think they'd feel reasonably good on 2014. 2016 is farther out. I'm not sure. Obviously, he will be in play at that point in time, and we could have some very interesting dynamics leading into it. But he had to feel strong enough to make that move, and in terms of the situation and with appointments and the supermajority. And when he takes risks, it's not because he hasn't calculated. That's the way his staff is, and that's the way he is.
And whether you agree with the party politics or not, this man is a brilliant man. Andrew Doman wrote a great piece a couple of weeks ago in the Las Vegas Sun about the fact that it looks like there's really nobody stepping up to the plate on the Democratic side to go up against Brian Sandoval. You may be seeing a shot by Steve Sisolak from the Clark County Commission, but he's been wavering on this for a long time. You better make a decision pretty soon.
Well, yeah, it's less than a year.
And in political terms, in terms of fundraising, that's not very much time.
No,
left.
Not at all.
And especially when they've been, the Republican side has been dangling how much money they've been raising, obviously. So what does this mean? If you don't have, and Mr. Doman explored this in his piece, if you don't have a Democratic challenger for the most senior race, so that means that the teachers' union margins tax becomes the senior race in the state, what does this mean for down ticket for Republicans and Democrats?
Well, it doesn't help. Clearly, I mean,
it doesn't help who?
Well, it just doesn't help getting the vote out, okay, as far as generally. But I want to say there is another race that's in play that's going to get a lot of attention because of, again, that chess game and the 2016 gambit is, okay, so kind of a concession, Brian Sandoval will be reelected, but who's going to be that lieutenant governor? And that is going to be a very intense fight. It's going to get a lot of attention, in my opinion. In some ways, like the lead up to Richard Bryant when he ran for U.S. Senate midterm, and you know, finding you know Bob Miller and a candidate, you know, because each side saying, well, you know, if you know Bryan leaves office, lieutenant governor becomes acting governor, who's that going to be? So I see the big race, which is not normally the case. You know, it's usually a non-race as lieutenant governor.
All right, let's take a break. More with historian Guy Rocha when we come back.
To contact Nevada Newsmakers, call 775-857-2244 or go to NevadaNewsmakers.com.
Hi, my name's Marilyn Miner, and I'm sure you'd agree that Nevada's a very special place to live. I was born here, and my husband and I have raised our family here. I feel it's a privilege to live and work in the Truckee Meadows. I especially enjoy helping my clients reach their real estate goals. Sometimes the smallest details provide the greatest satisfaction. I'd be complimented to talk to you about your next move.
Call Marilyn Miner at Dixon Realty, 742-1280, or log on to MarilynMiner.com.
The Tamarack Junction is South Reno's hotspot for food, fun, and friends. Play the hottest slots and video games. Join the Conductors Club and earn comps and free play. Meet your friends at Sully Sports Bar and feast on juicy burgers, wings, big beers, and all your favorite cocktails. Download the Tamarack Junction mobile app for exclusive food and gaming offers right from your phone. The Tamarack Junction, where friends meet in South Reno, just north of the Summit Mall on South Virginia.
How do you shed some light on a better economy? Start with growth inspired by Valley Electric Association. We're a member-owned power company that puts Nevada first, and we're doing big things, like providing prosperity by securing renewable energy projects. For Nevada, that means more jobs and more opportunities, all for a strong statewide economy. In other words, together, we're doing powerful things. Visit us at vea.coop to learn more.
As the stewards of the land, it is our responsibility to grow our businesses while keeping a watchful eye on our environment. We do this at TRI with conscientious development decisions. For example, the TRI Water and Sewer Companies are designing a new wetland program to polish the waste effluent to a superior water quality standard, while biofuel companies like Fulcrum Bio and Advanced Refining Concepts are producing clean and alternative energy from landfill waste and natural products. The Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, building economic prosperity for Nevadans.
Nevada Newsmakers 10th Annual Teen Edition is brought to you by the Nevada Trucking Association, Pro Group Management, the Retail Association of Nevada, Valley Electric Association, the Nevada State Education Association, and the El Dorado Hotel Casino in Reno. And now, back to Nevada Newsmakers with Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with former state archivist Guy Rocha. And we're talking about, we've moved into the lieutenant governor's race, and Guy's saying, and I agree, that probably the most important race on the 2014 election, which brings up, let's start with the Democratic side. Lucy Flores is being pushed as the nominee on, she's not declared yet, but on the Democratic side, or at least as of this taping.
Yes.
This is a very dynamic woman.
No doubt. I've met her. I've interacted with her. She's up and coming. She's, you know, she's one of those stories, if you hear her life story, of just not having a lot of opportunities, but then taking advantage of every single opportunity in her life, and has moved up, you know, into positions of power. She's got a good profile down south. I don't know if there's very much up here. That's always the problem with candidates from south and north. But what strikes me is Lucy Flores and the Hispanic population, and how articulate she is, how magnetic she is. She will make one heck of a candidate, and she'll be very popular in Southern Nevada and among the Hispanic community.
Okay, so now we put in the chess block.
Yes.
And say, what does this do to Brian Sandoval if Lucy Flores in the poll numbers is just going through the roof?
Well, this is the game. And fundamentally, if it's seen that Lucy Flores is going to win, okay, then the question is Brian Sandoval, his campaign people, willing to abandon the office to take out Harry Reid? And Harry Reid arguably will be vulnerable. Brian Sandoval's an attractive candidate. He's popular. I mean, his honeymoon has been extended. There's been a few things that have, you know, he's had to deal with. But fundamentally, he's one of the most popular governors we've had in quite a while. So I see it setting up where they're looking to do, at least on the Democratic side, a checkmate. I think on the Republican side, they're looking to see, well, where else can we move? I don't know if there's another move.
So you've got Mark Hutchison, who has been anointed by all of
the
other candidates of Mr. Slanker.
Yeah.
And then you've got Sue Loudon saying, no, I don't think so. I'm in this race as well. There are a lot of people that aren't, and we're talking merely on a primary point of view. There are a lot of people on the conservative side that are saying, hey, Governor, you didn't do, you know, you didn't act like the conservative you said you were going to be. You've done some things that we don't really like, and we like Sue Loudon because we don't like some of the votes that Mark Hutchison took. He'll be on the program here the next week or so. And so do you see one of those two candidates stepping back and saying, you know what, if we go into a really vicious primary, Mark Hutchison said in this program, might cost as much as $3 million out of his pocket. That would be a $6 million lieutenant governor primary where all they would do is beat the heck out of each other and then face Lucy Flores.
Yeah, and then and try to mend the wounds, you know, and heal and the rest of it. I think it's a big mistake. You
know, great for our show, though.
Of course.
Can't wait for the debates.
Well, I mean, see, again, it's a year where there really isn't much going on other than, as you say, the initiative. That'll be big. But it's going to make it a big time. That primary, if it comes off like that way, I think it undermines the Republican candidacy. I mean, it's a mistake, but the party is divided now. And I think if they want to target Harry Reid and they want to be successful, and the man is Brian Sandoval, then everybody needs to get together and swallow some of their ideological Kool-Aid and just say, look, we're going to pick one person. And we got to get on the same page, because ultimately what we want is Harry Reid.
And Harry Reid loves to get rid of anybody in the way of a candidacy, to just have one person so they don't have that brutal primary. And here the Republicans are, you know, not looking at the Reid playbook and going, it's been successful so far.
They're playing into it. He is the chess master. I mean, he's been in Congress longer than anybody in the history of the state of Nevada, more than 30 years. And he... sometimes kidding. I think he wants to die at desk. I think he wants to exceed.
I'm sure he does.
Mike Mansfield, who he admires, out of Montana, and had a tremendously long tenure as a Democrat, a Senate Majority Leader. He admires him, and he would like to exceed his tenure.
Do you see him then leaving the Senate and becoming ambassador to Japan? I'm just kidding.
No, not at all.
Let's take a break. More with Guy Rocha when we come back.
To get a DVD copy of any Nevada Newsmakers program, call 775-857-2244. The cost is $30, including shipping, handling, and tax.
From your house to the White House, the folks at D&D Roofing can get it fixed with their eyes closed.
Hi, I'm Joan Mack, and we're here at Palace Jewelry and Loan, and we've been here for 55 years, and we want to take care of every need that you have for the holiday season.
Merry Christmas and Happy Holidays!
This beautiful NAHB certified green home in Damani Ranch could be yours for just $150. The Builders Association of Northern Nevada presents the 2014 Dream Home Delivery Raffle. Constructed by award-winning home builder De Loretta Homes and located in La Casada, the Dream Home is 1,800 square feet, 3 bedrooms, and 2 baths. Proceeds benefit the Nevada Military Support Alliance and the Builders Association charity. Get your ticket today at these locations or visit dreamhomedelivery.com. The 2014 Dream Home Delivery Raffle. Get your ticket home today.
Hi, welcome to Toyotathon. How can I help?
I'm buying a car today.
We've got a big selection. Which one?
No clue. Thought I'd surprise myself. Excuse me, what are you buying today?
A Corolla.
We're getting a RAV4.
I'm getting a Camry.
Got a lot of choices. Let's keep it rolling. What about you?
Visit your Toyota dealer for special offers on a new 2013 RAV4, like this lease of just $199 a month. Plus, get just announced $1,000 holiday lease bonus cash. Toyota. Let's go places.
Find the perfect gift for everyone in your family from Palace Jewelry and Loan.
From our family to yours.
Merry Christmas and Happy Holidays.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmaker, talking with historian Guy Rocha and discussing all manner of things here. And obviously you're here for the whole show. There are two fundamental things that are solid in the state, and one seems to be increasing dramatically. One is labor's ability to get the vote out on the ground, and the other is the increasing strength of the Hispanic vote. How do you see this playing? Has the Hispanic vote gotten to full fruition going into 2014?
I've been watching this unfolding, and people have been asking me, you know, over the years, are we there yet? Are we there yet? And my answer is no. You know, you got to get out the registration, etc. But...
Well, hang on. All right, so it's 25% Hispanic population in Nevada,
mm-hmm.
20% of the vote.
Yes. And so I've seen the increase in the numbers, and as each year passes, those numbers increase. Is the 2014 the threshold year, or is it still on the ascendancy? I still see it on the ascendancy. It might be 2016, okay? But just 10 years ago, I would argue that the Hispanic vote, even with the numbers, the registration wasn't there. Now I look at it and go, wow. And then I look at who's getting elected, Lucy Flores and others. They're becoming a political force, not only in terms of the voting constituency, but in terms of who's getting elected. Nevada's political face is changing dramatically and will continue to do so.
I think it's interesting, too, to see labor. When they look at the margins tax, obviously the teachers are fully in favor of it. The AFL-CIO will vote to support it, even though they have not done as the time of this taping. But as you look at the labor movement, is the labor movement in lockstep over this margins tax issue, or do their employers talk to them and say, hey, you know, this could cause some problems?
I'm not an insider. Interesting where Culinary Local 226 will end up on this, okay? Obviously, you know, that's the largest culinary in the United States, and it's there in Southern Nevada. Teamsters and others. Will the labor movement get, as members with the teachers, get behind the teachers? I'm not sure. Again, like I say, I'm not at the meetings, but there may be some division in those ranks, too.
All right, you had some questions, because I threw it out to you. So I'm going to say to you, okay, you open up with your questions.
Well, you know, I guess what I sent you was, I'm wondering, here in Western Nevada, in terms of, I'm seeing a change of hands of casinos and you know, people looking at perhaps expanding some casino operations and maybe also working on their product. Is the pool of tourists and locals growing to sustain this? I see a lot of people apparently optimistic, you know, that they'll be able to do what they need to do at the Nugget, you know, John Esquaga's Nugget, properties downtown. I'm seeing a sense of, well, you know, despite casinos opening up in California and the casino that just opened up in Rohnert Park, that we can continue to move this agenda. And of course, my response is, I think the pool is about the same. So if you've got a good product, your casino is successful, but another one has to die. That's what I'm seeing as a trade-off.
I think it's a multifold question there. You look at the pool of local gamblers in Northern Nevada, and it's between about 5,000 and 6,000 people. So when you're fighting over local gamblers, that's the marketplace you're looking at. But if you look at the pricing in restaurants, in holiday buffets, you know, during the heights of the recession, the Atlantis Hotel Casino, one of the nicest properties in Reno,
no doubt,
had their gourmet buffet, and it dropped from a high of about $35 down to $29.99. This last holiday at Thanksgiving, it was at $42. That is on par with Las Vegas buffets at the highest end, the Wynn, Bellagio, etc. So they are now pricing their products at Vegas pricing, not for the gambling end, but in food and beverage. You're seeing an increase in nightclubs. You're seeing new money coming into the market. And I think that the deal is that you now have to expand locally who you bring in. It's not just going to be the gambler. It's going to be the person who wants to go out and have dinner and be prepared to spend $100, $200 on a dinner where that restaurant now makes a profit, and maybe a handsome profit, and then expand the nightclub offerings and things like that for the local market. But then you've got to go out and market all the new things you're doing, all the expanded offerings outside of Reno, and say to those people that are in Roanoke Park gambling for the first time, and saying, hey, if you like this property, we got 12 of them here. For Vegas, it's like we've got 100 of them here. And bring in people, not just for gambling, but bring them in to a destination. People love these spas. Do you know how much it costs to go to a spa? It's a fortune. But people love it, women especially, but it's men too. And they pay outrageous prices beyond what you would pay in a local massage place, for example, or a local spa, to be in these luxury places. So I think Vegas is the model, and Western Nevada has to continue to improve. You know, look at how much money has been spent in the Northern Nevada market with new ownership of these properties and the improvements that they're making. These are not stupid people.
Well, I've observed it. I don't know them to question how wise they are. But what I'm looking at, perhaps, in Western Nevada versus Southern Nevada is you're not going to get someone to drive up from Sacramento for the day to eat that dinner, enjoy that spa. I don't see that. What I see is, okay, you've got to convince more people, young people, to come in, migratory retirees and others, and try to expand that local market. But, you know, how do you, you know, outside conventions and special events, how do you get people outside weekends? I walk into these casinos, many of them, not the Atlantis or the Peppermill. I mean, you know, those are going
concerned. They're
smoking. They're smoking. I mean, if we turn out the lights, they would be the last ones to turn out the lights. But I look at some of these other properties on a weekday. John Esquaga's Nugget, you know, and doing Sheep Dip, which I do. I write and perform, a little plug there. And I come there on a weekday, and I look around and go, where are the people?
Wait a year from now. Give Carl Gear a chance. He was the general manager at the Peppermill. He has bought and sold major properties in northern and southern Nevada. He's advised the gaming industry for decades. This guy knows what he's doing. He would not have sunk his personal money along with his company's money into buying John Esquaga's Nugget if he didn't believe that he could fill those 1,600 rooms.
He's a gambler. He's betting on the come. That's the phrase I use with you. You know, and that's what we're all about. Okay. Half full, half empty. I'm not sure. Wait and see. But I think that property succeeds. Other properties, if they don't do the same thing or something like it, they go down.
The properties in Reno now are priced right. And that's why you're seeing this money coming in. And you're right. It's a question of do they do the right things with these properties. But I am certainly half full on this one. We'll be right back on Nevada Newsmakers. Thank you, my friend.
There you go.
At Nissan of Reno, get three great sedans at three great prices. Come see the Versa, Sentra, and Altima. Get 0% financing on most models, and you'll save huge. Now, get a new Nissan with a full factory warranty at a used car price. At Nissan of Reno, our mission is you.
Got a wine connoisseur on your holiday gift list? Napa Sonoma Grocery Company has great deals on cases of wine. Add a bottle of wine to a gift basket for a perfect holiday gift. Napa Sonoma Grocery Company at Plum and Arlington in the Plum Gate Center.
If the recent changes in healthcare have you feeling like there's a lot to learn, you're not alone. At Anthem Blue Cross and Blue Shield, we've done our homework on the new healthcare law, so we can help you make an informed decision, like finding a reliable health insurance plan that's right for you. All our plans offer $0 preventive care benefits to help keep you healthy. Our plans cover doctor visits, prescription drugs, hospital stays, and more. Choose from doctors and hospitals in our network. Generations have relied on us for their health care coverage. Apply today. Your coverage is guaranteed, and there are no medical exams required. Act today. It's not too late to apply for health coverage in 2014. Open enrollment ends soon. Now you can get reliable coverage from a name you can trust. Call us at 1-866-768-9305 for a free quote. That's 1-866-768-9305. Or visit lookatanthem.com.
Attention homeowners, if you can no longer afford your house, the best time to short sale is now. Call Annie Christian at 351-5117. We are here to help. Call 351-5117.
Nissan of Reno is proud to announce the arrival of the redesigned 2014 Nissan Rogue. With available third row seating, all-wheel drive capability, and an amazing 32 miles per gallon, the new Rogue is a great fit for Northern Nevada's tough winter conditions. At Nissan of Reno, our mission is you.
On the next broadcast, the dean of the medical school, Tom Schwenk, will be here. He'll talk about the new school going into Las Vegas. We'll see you next.